Amen. As I was pondering the message to preach this week, I was thinking of some songs maybe to sing, and those two that I sung this morning, the ones that the Lord gave to me, I was kind of surprised about that second one, because I haven't sung much. The Lord gave it to me years ago, but I've always, I don't know, I'm very critical of the songs that I've written.
Bless him, Lord.
And to me, that one always seems a little cheesy. I don't know why. Maybe just a play on words or something, but I haven't sung it much, and the Lord just put it on my heart to sing. But it goes along real well with the message that I've got today. Both of them do, really.
Amen.
I'm going to start out in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Amen.
So that's where you'd open your Bibles up to this morning.
Bless him, Lord.
If you'll recall, last week, amen, I preached, I think it was last Sunday night, on, amen, the truth and walking in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fed me this week, and some things that Robbie said in his message that morning fed me this week, and I've been pondering on some of those.
Amen.
And I thought I might have been able to preach a message on one of the thoughts that he had spat out there while he's preaching, but the Lord didn't direct me that direction. I mean, we may touch on a little bit today, but that's not the run of the message that God's gave me this morning. But if you got your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read the whole chapter. And my the portion of my message is mainly going to be focused on the latter, probably the latter half of this. But it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Amen.
And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And that's as far as we're going to read this morning. I'd like to point your attention to at least three different instances here where he talks about truth. Verse 10 says, "With all deceivableness of right unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Verse 12, "that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, remember last week we talked about walking in truth, and I had no idea that this was going to be in this message today, these words of truth here. But it's important to remember that we stand for the truth today in the world in which we live in. Over there last week, I referenced Psalms 100, I believe it was verse 5. Chapter 100, verse 5, it talks about the truth of the Lord endureth to all generations. Amen. I'm glad today that the truth as we know it, amen, the truth, amen, is not something that's changed from one season to the next. Amen. There's an old quote that says, if your story is true, then it don't change. Amen. When you're called as a witness to go to a courtroom, and you witness something, you see it with your own eyes, amen, if you say it as it's happened and as you saw it, then that's the truth of what happened, amen. And if they called you 2 weeks down the road, amen, you would say the same thing. Your story would not change because it's true. Amen, you saw it with your own eyes. Amen, I'm glad today the disciples kept saying the same story when they was asked about Jesus and when they was asked enough to speak in His name, as we're learning in Sunday school. Amen, they said the same thing. They couldn't do anything else but what God had told them to do because it was the truth. Amen, and they said so much so they said we ought to obey God rather than man. Why? Because that's the truth that He gave us. Amen. And that story does not change. And now, for 2,000 years, that story has not changed. Jesus came and died on the cross. Amen. He lived here for 33 plus years. Amen. He came and He healed the sick. Amen. He raised the dead. Amen. And He turned water into wine. All these other miracles that He did. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. Amen. All these miracles He did. He died and He resurrected again on the third day. That story is the same every time you tell it because it's the truth. Amen. It don't change. I'm glad today the truth of God's Word and the truth of God does not change. Amen. We can rely on it. We can take that check to the bank and cash it and not worry about it bouncing. Amen. Because God will hold to His Word. The Bible says that He holds His Word even above His very name. Amen. That's how important God's Word is because it is the truth. Jesus said, Thy Word is truth. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But as we read this, we find it in the last days. He talks about here, there's many times in the Bible it talks about the last days. And over Timothy, I believe it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And all these other things that happened in the last days, Matthew chapter 24 and I think Luke chapter 24, amen. Jesus tells us that some things that's going to happen in the last days. And one of these things that He talks about here is that man of sin being revealed, the man that we know today as the Antichrist. And He said for that to happen, there's got to be a great falling away. And as we look around today, I'm seeing that. You know, He's talking about falling away. Now, the world don't fall away because there already in the world. What He's talking about here is those that have been born again, those that have trusted Christ, and they've decided somewhere along the line, amen, to forsake that and go back to their old ways. Remember that song I sung, that the old man is dead. I tell you what, the old man is dead. He's decayed. Amen. He's not worth going back to that life. Amen. And when you go back and you choose to partake in the old ways, all you're doing is partaking in the ways of death because that's the old way. There's no life in that. There's no life and no existence in that. Amen. God is a God of the living, not of the dead. Amen. And when He made you a new creature, amen, all things were passed away. That means they died. Amen. They're dead and you don't resurrect those things because they have gone and they have gone to pass and you don't look back. Amen. He that has take over the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. I've heard it said, I've never really done any farming on my own, but I've heard it said that if you take hold of the plow and you start looking all directions, amen, you got crooked furrows.
Yeah.
It's not a straight line no more. You can't really plan and get your crop to come in right. Amen, and that's the way it is. All the things that you're working for the Lord, you got to keep your eyes forward. Paul said, I press forward, I press toward the mark of the prize of the calling, high calling of Christ Jesus. He said, therefore, forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. Those things that we've left behind are not worth going back to. Amen. The straight and narrow is ahead of us. We've left the broad road and decided to get on the straight and narrow with Jesus. And it's not worth going back to the broad road for. But the Bible clearly says this, tells us that there's going to be a great fall away. There's going to be some that go back on the broad way. That leads to destruction. And as we read this, we find that verse 10, 11, and 12 there. Amen. That God will let them do that. Amen. That because they believe, they chose not to believe in the truth. Amen. I equate that and equivalent that to Romans chapter 1, I believe it is, where it talks about how He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. And I've never seen such a time today where people are doing things that are so unseemly. It just boggles the mind. People don't know what a woman is. They don't know what a man is. They think they're one when they're really the other. Amen. There are all kinds of confusion going on in this world. We know that God is not the author of confusion, but Satan is, and he's come to seek and kill and steal and destroy. Amen. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right. That's his job. That's what he does, brother.
But the truth will stand regardless.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you what. Amen. He said he's going to let them believe a lie. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. Why? Because that's the life they chose. That's what they want, and God grants it to them in the last days when the fall away comes. Amen. A lot of people say, well, when the rapture comes, I'll just repent after that. No, you won't. If you don't get right before the rapture, chances are very slim that you'll get right afterwards. Amen. Because you've already made your mind up, and God will send you strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. And your soul will be condemned.
Yeah, true, brother.
Why is that important? Because it tells you that now more than ever, amen, we need to hold fast to the truth. Look in verse 15. Amen. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Amen. Paul tells them there to stand fast. Amen. Hold to the traditions you've been taught. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he kind of gives them, Timothy, almost the same command. He says in verse 14 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy, he says, continue thou in the things of which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Paul gave Timothy the same charge right before he gave him the charge to preach the word. He told him, continue in the things which thou hast learned in the Scriptures from a child. Amen. That's made able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know, the thought of my message as I read that verse where he told him to stand fast and hold fast. Amen. The thought of my message that I give you this morning is to hold the line. Amen. Hold the line. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Amen. I've just recently come acquainted with that term myself. But basically, when you're going into warfare, whether it be the army or whether it be any kind of general warriors or anything like that, amen, there's a line of defense in the front. Amen. And they're there to protect the rest of them in the back so that they can defend as well. Amen. And that, if they cross that line, they'll get into their territory and all is lost.
Yeah.
And so almost think of like a football field. They've always got a line up of men right ready to protect their end zone against the other team. And there's a line there. There's always a line of men sitting down and getting ready to hike the ball.
Yeah.
But if you think about it in terms of warfare, there's a line where you have to defend so that the enemy cannot get across.
Man.
And you may have seen it in movies or things like that. If you watch old war movies, amen, when they're getting to the heat of the battle, the commander or somebody in charge will say, hold the line. Basically, that means that whatever happens, don't you give up. You don't let that line, amen, be crossed by the enemy no matter what. Amen. Today, and as Christians today, we need to hold the line of the truth. Amen. We need to not let the things of this world try to break through and distort and twist the truth like we see it today. I'm so sad today that the church today is not holding the line and things are sneaking in where all the cracks are. Amen. And infiltrating, amen, our camp this morning.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Paul said to hold fast. Be steadfast. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that you might know your labor is not in vain. Amen. Be steadfast. Over in Ephesians, he tells them, put on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand. You know the problem today with the world today in the church? Amen. Is they let their guard down. They took the armor off and put it on the shelf somewhere. Amen. There's a scripture over there, I think in Samuel, where it talks about David and the armor being all dull and it needs polished up. They've set it aside. Amen. And that's what's happening in the church today. Amen. I've never seen so much confusion in the church world today. They ordain homosexuals. Amen. They let anything go on in the world. They'll just give them a slap on the wrist if they've done sin and say, go ahead and go your way and have a prosperous life and live your best life now.
Yeah. Preach it.
Problem is, you can't live your best life without Jesus.
That's right.
And you can't live your best life without the truth.
Yes.
Amen. The truth of the gospel. Preach. Amen. It calls sin what it is.
Preach.
It calls it out for what it is. It doesn't sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
It doesn't sugarcoat it. Amen. It reveals the light of the Word, reveals the truth. Amen. And sin is revealed because of it.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
Just like an old cockroach, the devil scurries away when that light comes on.
Amen.
He don't want to be seen. He wants to infiltrate from the darkest corners of your soul.
Yeah, good preaching, brother.
Amen. But we need to hold fast to the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I recently heard amen, somebody talk about how so-and-so, amen, seemed like some of my own family think you can live as you want to and still get into heaven, amen. Amen, is talking about how, amen, well, I know this person and that they claim to be a Christian, but they cuss and they drunk right up until the day of their death. And talked about how, well, I don't understand it, but he's going to be in heaven. And I say, I don't know about that. I didn't say anything, but in my heart I was thinking, oh, you're being deceived.
Yeah.
Amen, because if all the wickedness of the world was allowed into heaven, it wouldn't be heaven no more, and Jesus Christ would have come to this earth and died in vain. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 talk about trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. And when you step over the line, amen, that Christ holds, amen, and try to get into heaven another way, Jesus says you're the same as a thief and a robber, amen, this morning. It's a serious thing. To fall in the hands of a living God. You know, it's still serious today.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The truth. God, Hebrews talks about how our God is a consuming fire. You know, fire, what a picture of fire is in the Bible. It's a picture of purging, but it's also a picture of judgment. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's why in the last days this world will be judged and it'll be burned up with fire. It won't be flooded no more, but it's going to be consumed with a fire. The judgment of God. In Hebrews 6, it also talks about there's nothing else. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. It talks about there's nothing else to look forward to but a fearful indignation of judgment. It talks about the fiery indignation of judgment as well.
Yeah.
But the truth is something we need to stand for.
Yes, sir.
Why is that? Amen. Because the Bible tells us to abstain from filthy communication.
Yeah.
James said, you know, brother, there's both blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. And he said, brother, it ought not so to be. Amen. You can't just live any way you want to. God has a line drawn, and He holds that with His very word. He's holding the line, and He expects us to hold the line as well.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And like I said, people being deceived today.
Yeah.
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. Basically, that means homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Drunkards specifically mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But, amen. Don't think you'll be able to go to heaven, amen, and you drink a beer every day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I just don't go along with that. A lot of people try to say, well, Jesus turned water into wine. Well, they don't understand the Scripture. Amen. That wine can represent several things.
Right.
They say, well, Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, they don't understand that either. You know, wine, amen, it can mean grape juice. It can mean vinegar. You know, vinegar is vine, amen.
Yeah.
And wine comes from vine, the fruit of the vine, the grapes. It can be used for different medicinal purposes in the form of vinegar. Amen. They like to distort that. Why? Because they like to translate and twist the Scriptures to fit their lifestyle. God never translated and twisted Himself to fit anybody's lifestyle.
Amen.
We have to live to His standards. It's not the other way around.
Yes, amen.
Anytime you see somebody in the Bible trying to live up to their standards and make God live up to their standards, it don't work out too good for Him.
Right.
He'll always have the last say. But He says, none of these, revilers or extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look in verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What's He saying there? Now notice in verse 12 He said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient.
Mm-hmm.
All things are lawful to me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. And over in Colossians He says about the same thing, but He also says all things edify not.
Amen.
He says, sure. He says, I'm born again. I don't have to live by the law. They're lawful to me.
Amen.
But I know better on some things. Amen. Not all things are good for me. Not all things are expedient. Just because I have liberty don't mean I can use it as a stumbling stone in my brother's path. Amen. There's many places in the Bible where he talks about eating certain things and not offending your brother because of the way he eats, the way he decides to do things. He says, you know, I have abstained from all things and I might by all means save some. Amen. But there's no license to sin. Romans chapter 6 will tell you that shall we sin that God's grace may abound? God forbid.
Amen.
The truth is God holds us to a higher standard.
Amen.
He's got us sanctified as Christians, as believers in Christ. The Christians are sanctified. They're set apart for His use.
Yes.
They're devoted for His use.
Yeah.
And they're a peculiar people.
Yes,
they're
Jesus.
A special people.
Amen.
Made for His purpose and for His work.
Amen.
And that is to uphold the truth. Amen. I don't like hurting people's feelings. I don't like making people mad. But, amen, if the Word says it, then that's just the way it is.
Amen.
Because I'm not the one that delivers the Word. I'm not the one that executes it. God is the one that executes it. And when they stand before
amen.
Him one day after a while, having done all these things
amen.
And lived like they used to, they're going to find out the hard way that God will not let them in. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you,
amen.
You worker of iniquity.
Right.
Why is that? Because there's no contamination going to be in heaven. There's no corruption going to be in heaven. It's a perfect place. There's going to be no more pain, no more murder, no more death, no more funeral homes. Amen. No more high gas bills, no more presidents. We're going to have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to take care of everything with a rod of iron. Amen. And if you don't like it, there ain't nothing you can do about it because He created this whole world.
Yes, sir.
And it's His to manage as He sees fit.
Right, brother. Good preaching, brother.
But I like that. Paul said, you know, all these different things. You used to be that. Like that old song, the old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life, it says.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have old hope in sight. I was lost in darkness searching for a light.
Yeah.
Then one night in a little church after hearing what that preacher said, I went to the altar, gave my life to Jesus, and that old man was dead.
Amen.
Amen. I crucified the old man. Amen. I put him to death, amen, that I might live a resurrected life. Amen, that I might live in the life eternal more abundantly that God promised through the way of Jesus Christ. Amen, I'm glad Paul says you used to be like that, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. Hey, you don't live that way anymore. I'm holding you to a higher standard. Amen, because God Himself does the same thing.
That's right, brother. Good preaching.
That's what conviction is.
Yeah.
When you get out and you dabble in the world, God, you know what He does? He pricks our hearts. We've been learning in Sunday school, Brother Dale talked about how they were cutting their hearts.
Yeah.
When Peter began to talk to them about how they crucified the Lord and Savior, said they were cutting their hearts and they wanted to stone them. Amen. I like what old Brother Robbie said last week. The church has lost its cut. Amen.
Yeah.
The church needs to sharpen its sword a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen. And get back on fire for God.
Yeah.
We've lost our savor and our saltiness.
Yeah.
And there ain't much you can do with that. Amen. You used to be that way. When you've been born again and you try to dabble in the world, God pricks that heart.
Yes, sir.
He says, you used to be this way.
Yeah.
But you're saved. That ain't the life you live anymore.
Right.
That ain't the truth of the Word.
Right, brother.
Amen. You're choosing to live in bondage when you try to go back and live that life.
Yeah.
When you try to go back and live that lifestyle, you're choosing to live in bondage rather than liberty. With God has made us free from sin and death.
Yes,
amen. That's the word of truth. Amen. Paul said the word of faith and the word of truth which we preach. We're supposed to hold the line of truth.
Yeah.
Amen. It ain't that we condemn people. Amen. They're condemned by their own actions and their own words
right.
when they decide
right.
To live the old way when God has purged them from that. Amen.
Right.
All we can do is tell the truth and say, you know, have you considered this?
Right.
Have you read in the Bible over here in so-and-so where it says this? Instead of going trying to do your own way. Amen. Go forsake your own way. Jesus, amen. In Isaiah chapter 1, I believe it's verse 18, says, come now. Hey, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow.
Yes, sir.
Have a conversation with Jesus. Say, Lord, is this really what
amen.
Your Word says? Am I holding to the truth of your Word or am I being deceived? Last days we know deception shall run rampant in this world, not just in this nation, but all over the world. We see it today. Amen. Nations are coming up against nations because they're fighting all the time. Yes, they don't have godly leadership. They're blinded by the God of this world. Right. Amen. And what we have to do is we have to seek the truth of God's Word.
Right,
I'll read a few more scriptures and I'll be done.
Preach it, brother.
Talking about holding the line, holding fast.
Bless you, Jesus.
To that which is good. I'm going to read some scripture out of Hebrews here. You don't have to follow me, but I'll give the references. Hebrews 3, verse 6 says, "But Christ is the Son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end."
Yeah.
Verse 14, he says, "We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." I'm going to turn over to Hebrews 10:23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Mm-hmm. Without wavering. I believe it's James that said, "He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, and ought not think that he shall receive anything of God."
Amen.
Amen. If you're wavering on your salvation, if you straddle on the fence, don't expect to receive anything from God. Because God expects you to endure. He said, Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Mm-hmm. Not he that wavers and can't make his mind up. A double-minded man, James says, is unstable in all his ways. I'd rather be stable. Amen. God talks about it, that God will establish our ways. He'll make us stable in our goings.
Amen. Yeah. Bless you, Lord.
And then in Revelation chapter 3. Very familiar scripture where he's talking to the church. In verse 1 through 3 says, "Unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou art livest and art dead." Here's a church that's doing exactly what I've been preaching about this morning. They proclaim that they're alive. They have a name. But it's just like he told the Pharisees, on the inward, on the outward part, they look nice, but on the inside are dead men bones.
Yeah.
Whited sepulchres. He said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain."
Yeah.
That are ready to die.
Yeah.
Man, that's a sad statement.
Yeah.
A church, and he says, there's things that are hanging on by a thread.
Mm-hmm.
"For I have not found thy works perfect before God." I'd rather hear that on this side of eternity than on the other side. He's giving them a chance here. "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast." Jesus himself told the church, hold fast, repent. "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Now he's telling them, if you decide to go back in the world, I'll come upon you as a thief in the night. But we find out in Thessalonians over there, I think it's chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. Let me see if I can find this here. Chapter 5, verse 2, 1 Thessalonians says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh, so cometh as a thief in the night." But in verse 4, "Ye brethren are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief." See, as Christians, we're watching.
Bad.
That day as a thief in the night ain't going to apply to us Christians because we're watching.
Right.
We're expecting.
Right.
It won't
right.
catch us unawares,
yeah.
those that are watching. But he says here in the church, if you backslide, if you go back in the world and you don't repent and you don't watch, that's when it's going to come upon you as a thief.
Mm-hmm.
"I'll come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." That's a serious statement.
Mm-hmm.
That applies to... He tells the church to repent.
Yeah.
What makes you think that back in those days, if the church didn't need to repent, what? Why wouldn't the church need to repent today?
Amen.
For everything
right.
that's going on.
Right. That's right.
For the lies that they're telling people.
Right.
I mean, well, something had to occur somewhere down the line for people to believe,
Amen.
Well, I can still live like a sinner and go to heaven.
Yeah, come on, brother.
Keep doing it. I believe that lies with the church. I believe that lies with the pastors.
Yeah.
I believe that lies with the evangelists. Somehow, somewhere, we fall along the way, and we haven't proclaimed the truth. We haven't
yeah.
held the line
on,
of truth.
Yeah.
Either
on,
that
brother.
Or the people have not listened.
Yeah.
And just like Ezekiel, if we give the direct charge and we tell the truth of the word, our hands are clear of their
Amen.
Blood. But if we don't, their blood's on our hands.
Right.
And that same thing applies to witnessing. Same thing applies to the church in general. It's not just the pastor's job to convert souls for Christ. We're all, as Christians, we're all ambassadors of Christ. The same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is, verse 12, where it tells about how all things, if you become a new creature in Christ, all things are passed away. Yeah. All things are become new. If you read on down, that same chapter that talks about everybody becoming new creatures talks about being ambassadors. So we're not only a new creature, we got a work to do for Christ. We represent Christ here on this earth. That's what an ambassador does. You talk about UN ambassadors, so they'll send people out to represent the nation which they represent. They speak for those people on their behalf. We as Christians speak for Christ on His behalf. We're His mouthpiece. We're His vessel. And it lies with each and every one of us to hold the line and hold fast to the truth. I've cleared my heart this morning. Ask Brother Donald if he has a song on his heart to come. Share that with us. Amen. It's worth holding the line, brother.
Amen, brother.
We're all in a warfare, regardless of whether we like it or not. Let's all stand this morning, those that can. Amen. I believe he told Timothy, where those that entangle themselves, if they're a warrior for Christ or a soldier for Christ, don't entangle themselves with the things of this world.
Amen.
Because they can't do their job effectively if they do. As he sings, if you have a need, this altar's open. Crucify that old man. Bury him and leave him for dead. And accept and embrace the life that Christ has for you in the ahead. Amen. Amen. Are you leaning on the truth today? If you have any question or any doubt about it, you better settle it before you leave here today. If there's anything in your belief system that you have any inkling of doubt about, it's best to clear it up before you leave. Trust in the truth today. As he sings one more verse.